The first compliment I got this morning is that I look like a mortician. But you don't want to hear my answer. My answer was, I hope that I will not feel like in a cemetery. What do you really love is the theme for today's sermon. And we have to understand that there is a sin which was the most frequent sin in the Old Testament, and it's still the sin which provokes God to anger. And just tell me, what is that most frequent sin Israel provoked God in the Old Testament? It's idolatry. It's idolatry which caused them to suffer years and years in exile. And that's why we have to understand what's idolatry, because you can be a church member, and you can come to church but still worship idols. And we find that in Ezekiel chapter 14, when Israel was coming to the temple, externally they were worshiping properly, but in their hearts they were wrong. Because God said in Ezekiel 14, verse 3, that they did not abandon their idols. Why idolatry is the primary sin? First of all, because it's the very foundation of our relationship with God, covenant. And also because it's a betrayal. And in idolatry, we substitute God with idols who will control us, will consume our thoughts, time, energy. And of course, idolatry makes us incapable to serve God, because Jesus was very clear that you cannot serve two masters. Also, idolatry is enmity towards God. God was very clear when he said, you should not have other gods before me. You should not make for yourself an idol. And anyone who chooses to be the world's friend is making himself God's enemy. Also, idolatry is stealing from God the glory which has to belong only to him. I am the Lord, he said in Isaiah 42, verse 8. That's my name. And I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. And thus Jesus said that we have to seek God first, and everything else will be provided. So idolatry is the universal human tendency to value something or someone in a way that hinders the trust and love which we owe to God. Conflicts with the principle of putting God first in our lives. And in nowadays, it's not necessary to pray or to worship to the carved images, because there are a lot of idols which just change their name, but the essence remain the same. And when you look to the society of nowadays, you'll find a lot of ancient idols. And if the devil used all those idols as a hook for humanity in the past, don't you think that he's still using it nowadays? The same idols, but under different names. So what we have to understand is that idolatry takes us away from God. And just think about that you are getting married, and you are saying to your future wife, darling, I will love you, but I will continue to have a relationship with Nancy from next door and also with Mary from Atlanta. Will she not hit you directly between your eyes? And it's the same with our relation with God, because God wants us to belong only to Him. And He can say to us, as He said one time to Peter, and He'll say, Sam, do you love me? Do you really love me? And you know, with Jesus, you cannot deceive Him. You have to say the truth. And you'll say, well, I'm a Christian, and yes, I'm supposed to love you. And He'll say, I didn't ask you what you're supposed to love. Tell me, what do you really love? Do you really love me more than your TV programs, or vacations, or your gadgets, or your kids? Do you like spending time with me more than in front of your TV or on the internet? And that's where we have to understand that Jesus placed His Spirit in us, and James chapter 4, verse 5 says that that Spirit wants us for Him alone. That's why the first commandment is love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, soul, with everything. That's the first commandment, and there is no greater commandment than that. And let me prove you that to love God is not hard. And that what Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 30, he says this commandment, to love God, it's so close to your heart, to your mouth. You should not go in heaven to bring it, or overseas to bring it, because it's here, it's right here. Why is so easy to love God? Because just think about a person who comes to you and provides everything for you, who loves you, who cares about you, who every day gives you everything that you need for your life, and not only for you, but for your family, for your relatives. Will it be hard for you to love such person? No. To love God is not hard at all. To love maybe Kevin or, I don't know, Bob, it's harder, but not God, because He is the one who gives us, He gives Himself for us. And it's not only about loving God, but it's also about loving what God loves. And you know that God loves His bride, the church. And sometimes saying to God, God, I love you, you can hear, just shut up. Go and tell me first that you love Mark, you love Kevin, you love Nancy, and with whom you have still roots of bitterness. And just after that, come and tell me that you love me. So that's why Jesus said to the church, a very diligent church of Ephesus, that you have persevered and have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. And the advice was to go back, to repent and to go back, because God will not allow anyone, anything in our lives to be placed first before Him. Just consider the example found in Luke chapter 18, verse 18. Do you remember that young ruler who placed God high on his priority list? He was keeping the law from his youth. And when Jesus told him that he has to sell his possession, he went away sorrowful. Because God may have been very high on his list, but God wasn't first. And that's why today we have to realize that idolatry, it's still the main threat of our relationship with Jesus. Just consider this. apostles told us in Acts chapter 11, verse 29, that we should not allow ourselves to be polluted by idols. Paul suggested in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 6, that we should not even have fellowship with idolaters, those who worship idols. Also, we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, that we are not to stay in the idolatry, because no one who practices idolatry will get to heaven. And in Galatians chapter 9, verse 20, chapter 5, verse 20, you'll find that idolatry is the fruit of the flesh. And that's why John said, "Little children, keep yourself away from idols," in 1 John 5:21. So what we have to look now in the old time and to identify those idols in nowadays and to keep ourselves away from them. And even though we are not worshiping images, we still have an image, which is the idol number one, which is the one who requires worship, and which is the first enemy which we have to identify. And tell me the name of that idol, the idol number one. Let me give you a hint. It could be a god or a goddess. And his and her name is me, myself, I. That's why the pride is the idol number one. And God says that he opposes to proud, but give grace only to the humble. Why pride is so dangerous for our souls? Because when pride comes, Proverbs 11:2, then comes dishonor. 16:18, pride goes before destruction. Or 29:23, a man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. You know that pride is something which it's a self-sufficiency. It's something which is so destructive for our souls. I just recently attended a conference, an international conference in Orlando, where people from different countries came, and they were giving their testimony how God works in their regions, and so many people pretending they are glorifying Jesus, they were glorifying themselves. It was so evident. And I saw that in others, but I didn't see that in me. That's right. Pride is easily visible in others, but you never see it in yourself. And that's why when we are lifting ourselves up, we look really funny, but we don't pay attention. I remember I have a friend, and he visited Korea, South Korea, and 5 o'clock in the morning, they were, climbing some stairs, and every step had to be a step of confession, where you have to confess one sin. And he said after he climbed like 5-6 steps, he ran out of sins. And you know what is happening? Pride doesn't allow us to see ourselves, to see our sins. And let's see some examples from the Old Testament. You know, Nebuchadnezzar was the one who had a dream, and Daniel interpreted that dream. And in that dream, he saw a statue, and Daniel said, "You are the golden head of the statue." So what he did next week, he built a whole golden statue and just forced people to worship that statue. And you know that when he was walking through amazing city of Babylon, he was saying, "Is not this great Babylon which I have built by my mighty power?" And you know how God struck him. And you know that only after 7 years, he came back in his sense and started glorifying God. Look at Saul. Early in the morning, 1 Samuel 15:12, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul. But he was told Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor. Or look in 2 Chronicles 26:16 about another king after he became powerful. And that's the story almost of all the kings of northern kingdom Israel. All 19 kings had the same problem. After they were becoming powerful, their pride led them to downfall. And you know that immediately you see the unfaithfulness in those kings. And you know what happened to this king? He even dared to enter in the temple of God and to bring sacrifice. And you know how God struck him with sickness. Look, in Matthew, we can even practice mercy and bringing only sacrifices to this idol, to ourselves. And that's why Jesus says, when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you. Because doing that, you are not giving to God, you are giving to yourself, to your to Mr. I, so that they may be honored by men. That's right. That's the translation of the word to boast from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You have that love does not brag and it's not arrogant. And the word arrogant means to inflate, to puff up, to swell up. And when a person brags, when he shows off, he's like inflating, swelling up. And yes, he looks funny to everybody else, but not to himself. And 1 Samuel 15:23 says that arrogance is like the evil of idolatry. That's why we sometimes surround ourselves with the people less intelligent, less skilled, because that's the only way to present yourself as the best, better. And the fear of failure throws people into self-worship. And vice versa. The self-worship always brings a fear of failure. And there is a verse which I wish that Bible would not have, but it's there, Philippians 2:3. And it says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourself. Is it not hard, that? Isn't it? And that's why God is teaching us to not be afraid to recognize that we are weak. In fact, Paul said that only when you see your weakness, that's when you are strong. Because you'll grab Jesus. You'll feel yourself dependent. You'll hold him. You'll not like to release him. And also, do not be afraid to acknowledge strength of others. You'll never be like Matt or like David or like, I don't know, Pete. But you are still unique and precious in God's eyes. And that's why this idol forces us to show off, to make good impression, to boast, to lift yourself on the position which you don't need to have. Because God made us anyway unique. And being weak is not bad at all. Now we understand that the word pride means also to place yourself above. So you cannot receive blessing from God if you are placing yourself above. So if this bowl will not be under this pitcher, this bowl will not receive anything. That's how we are stopping God to bless us, because sometimes we place ourselves above the pitcher of God's blessing. And that's why Jesus said, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble, and the humbleness is the only way to smash this idol, to make it in a powder, and to throw away into the running water, as was the custom in the Old Testament. Now, we would like to mention only four idols, and we'll not have enough time to stop to study every one of them. But in order to remember, all of them start with the S. Selfishness, silver, sex, sloth. Selfishness, which is pride. Silver, which is money. Sex, which is adultery. And sloth, laziness. And now we'll look again into the Old Testament, and we'll find the most alluring deity which caused the downfall of Israel. And its name is Baal. Baal was a Canaanite god, which means Lord, or God of prosperity. And we know that in the New Testament, that idol changes its name. In the New Testament, its name is Mammon, or money. Money is the power to get everything that you want. You don't need to pray. You don't need to wait. You have your credit cards. You can get everything that you wish. And the people, when they were relying on Baal, they were expecting that Baal will pay them back, will provide for their lives. And that's why when we are investing in education, in social status, in everything else, we are expecting that that social status or education will pay us back. Nothing. Nothing is different. Only the names. The names of the idols. So, and here I put these three. The proof that I got that from the Bible is from 1 John 2:15. And now we go to the next idol, which I said it's Baal. So Baal makes us to pray to this idol. And, you know, at least in the Old Testament, the idolatry was open. Now the idolatry is much worse because it's subtle. And you have people worshiping to Mammon the whole week and coming on Sunday service, and they behave like nothing happened. Or you have people watching dirty programs on TV or on the internet the whole week, and coming to the church, they will behave like they are not guilty. That's why the idolatry in the New Testament is much, much worse, because it's covered with hypocrisy. At least at four occasions, the New Testament connects the greed for money with idolatry. And you have that in Colossians 3:5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And here, sexual immorality and greed, which is idolatry. And Ephesians 5:5, for of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And just think about why Jesus suggested us to ask for our daily bread for today. He didn't allow us even to ask for 1 week. He didn't allow us to ask even for 2 days. Because if you will receive the confirmation of his provision for 2 days, the second day will be a day of independence from God, a day of idolatry. That's why he suggested to ask only for today. And now we have Jesus' advice, but we have all the advertisement. And by the way, a modern American receives and sees up to 85 ads daily. It's published. It's advertised. Just get it. So, advocates this philosophy of materialism. And, we are now turned between two decisions. To whom we will listen? You can listen to what Bible says or to what you hear. Have it your way. Obey your thirst. Do you recognize them? Is everywhere you want to be? Visa card. Or obey your thirst, Mountain Dew. Or have it in your way, Burger King. So you can have everything that you want, the world suggests. And with this idol, we can fight only in this way. Paul said, for we brought nothing into this world, and we cannot take anything out of it, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. So when you are grateful, and this week we celebrated the Thanksgiving, when you are grateful is the only way to smash this idol. And from this verse I gave you before this example, here you were born, here you'll die. I didn't put the year here. So, you are here. But from your childhood, you started to gain something, and you have something. You can ask my 9-year-old son, and you'll find out that he has a lot of games, toys. So, he got also his possession. You are here. And 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 and 18 tells us that everything that we got from God. So it's a gift. But God wants you to remain as you were before when you didn't have that gift. He wants you to love Him, to seek Him, to hope in Him. And he is willing to provide, to give more gifts, but only if you remain focused on the giver. And here is the problem which always happens. That we forget about giver and we direct our love. We seek for more and we trust in our accounts or in our 401k, yes, and we trust more than in God, and that's what God doesn't want to us to happen. So now we understand that the only way to smash this idol is to be content. And let me give you an example. When I'm praying, our daily bread give us today, I always pray, Lord, just release me from the fear for the future, for the next day. Just give me that confidence and peace that in you I have already everything. I don't need to dream about it because I already have you, the provider of everything. Now the third idol, which is Ashtoreth. And we know that Solomon, a godly man, he ended up worshipping idols. And this was the first idol mentioned in 1 Kings 11, verse 5 to 7. He followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely as David, his father, had done. Is it not interesting that Ashtoreth was the first goddess he worshipped? And Ashtoreth is the same as Aphrodite for Greeks, the god of beauty, sexuality, fertility, and is the same as Venus for Romans. And this worship included immorality, and this god in nowadays is sex, but not the good part of it, because God invented sex. Is nothing wrong with that part, with the good part of sex. But there is another side, a dark side, which is fornication, adultery, immorality. And never before this world is worshiping this idol as in nowadays. Pornography is consuming our youth, our churches. And you know that Solomon first worshiped to this idol, but immediately another idol is connected. Molech. Why Molech goes right next to Ashtoreth? Because Molech was involving child sacrifice. Look, the way or the religion of getting rid of inconvenient kids coming from fornication, it's a very old religion. And you know what Solomon did? He used public money, taxes, to build more temples, to enlarge this religion, and to justify murder. And nowadays it's called the health plan, or when we are using our taxes to justify, to support abortion. And now I have a question to you. Solomon had 1,000 wives, not more, not less. He was very precise. His son, Rehoboam, who was more perverted than his father, had only 78. And his grandson, Abia, who was the most immoral person in his family, only 14. It's not logic. More perverted, less women. And now I will tell you only reason in favor of many wives. But before you stone me, just hear me out. Do you know why more perverted, less wives? Because they didn't have money, those money to provide for their wives. This one was rich. This one was a loser. He lost his father's money. This one was the most poor from all three. And they didn't have money to provide for their wives, to have many wives. So in that time, was a cultural thing. You slept with the woman, now she has to become your wife. I would enforce this law, if I would have the rights, in this society and let every guy who slept with a woman to take her as wife. That will stop at least immorality, because they are sleeping with hundreds and they don't provide for any of them. And they that at least will make a person thinking, and out of greed he will stop doing this immoral, detestable things. There is only one to avoid this idol. And you know that every sexual thought which does not involve your spouse is a trap from the devil. It's a lasso for your soul. Every time when you discover a sexual thought which does not involve your wife, know that the devil is playing with you, is working hard with you, is gaining you, and that definitely will destroy your pleasures with your legal wife. And that's why there is only one way to avoid that. Guard your four gates of the soul, your eyes and your ears. Because if you are watching everything, and after that you're fighting hard against those immoral thoughts, I call this spiritual masochists. The people who just, if they are new people, they will never, new creatures, they will never enjoy immorality in a way they enjoyed in the past, because the spirit will fight against these thoughts. So instead of pleasure, you'll have a few minutes of pleasure, and after that a day of remorse and fight and a war inside of you. And nobody needs that. And that's why that's the only way to avoid that. We will not stop on this one, the Dead Sea idol, the sloth. And why the Dead Sea? Because in the Dead Sea you don't need even to swim. You just lay, and the water will warm you up. Always is a constant temperature. And the laziness is the fourth idol which consumes, destroys us in nowadays. And what does it mean, laziness? What does it mean, this idol, the idol of sloth, means avoiding what is really needed for your soul? It's this spirit of procrastination when you delay important things and you are getting involved with trivial, with things which are not building you up. So is the Latin word acedia, which means carelessness. And if the devil cannot destroy our society by famine, by war, it will destroy if we will not watch out through this idol of sloth. And you know that our kids are most attacked. The praise of this idol is, I'm bored. So, and you know also that every day they are attacked by this idol. In the past, when we were kids, our parents forced us to do many things which we didn't want to do, but that was very beneficial for our character. Because when you are forced to do something, you are just developing patience in yourself, and you are developing many good character traits. But look what is happening now. Now we are the ones who are making our schedules. Nobody can force us to do something which we don't like. And many things remain undeveloped in us, because we are doing only what is cozy, what is nice. And the discipline, the patience, the diligence will be something which will destroy this idol. But that's the subject for another sermon. Now, we know that Hebrews 6:12 says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. So that's where the vacation sport or other entertainment can easily get in the way of being productive, fully engaged in accomplishing the mission left for us. Nothing wrong with vacations. Nothing wrong with the rest. But when you are not going to give up with your Hawaii trip to save a soul, or you don't want to give up with your favorite team game for the sake of visiting a sick person, that's when sloth is getting in a way, becoming idle. So we have only one way to change the situation. That was the way of Israel coming back to God, is repentance. And here is a description of repentance. Be humble then before God. You are sinners. Get your hands clean again. Your loyalty is divided. Get your hearts made true once more. You should be deeply sorry. You should be grieved. You should even be in tears. You must humble yourself in the sight of the Lord before He will lift you up. So the only way to go back is to fall again in love with our Lord. Because when we are getting rid of the idols, that empty space has to be filled out with the love for God. And that's how we will renew our covenant. That's how we will prepare for the advent. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that with your word, you can do miracles. You can transform our minds and open the eyes of our understanding to understand your mysteries. We know, Lord, that one time you advised the kings that they're supposed to write, to copy the word, to carry with them every day, and after that to read every single day of their lives. And you said that that will help them to keep the fear for you and also will protect them for pride. Lord, I found myself so many times showing off, boasting, and not presenting you. I found myself so many times in idolatry, and I'm asking forgiveness today. And also, Lord, help always to gaze at you and to be focused only on the one who can give, provide, only the one who can keep us on the right path. And you said, seek more for my kingdom and my righteousness, and everything will be provided. Lord, remind to us this truth every single moment of our life, and we are praising you because you are amazing. Amen.
Let's stand together and respond.